right? So here's our eighth and final budget presentation for all of you. It's been a great honor to serve you as your governor, and one of the very important responsibilities, among others, is to prepare this budget. And this budget should be an articulation of who we are and what we value as a people, the things, you know, that we believe are most important to us. And they are the strength of a growing middle class, growing in its prosperity, growing in its inclusiveness, growing in its diversity, improving public safety and public education in every part of our state, and expanding opportunity, not only the opportunity to learn and to earn, but the opportunity to enjoy the health of the people we love, as well as our own health, and the health of the other living systems of this environment, to be able to enjoy them and pass them on in better shape than we received them ourselves. So this is the budget that seeks to accomplish as much progress as we can along that long continuum. So first slide, who's got my clicker? Am I clicking? Where's the clicker perched? Okay, so here's the budget, and I'm going to give you a little bit of retrospective over 8 years, too. You'll indulge me, won't you? So this budget, here are the highlights. This brings to a total to $9.1 billion in cumulative cuts to state spending. It has us on a path to eliminate the structural deficit that we've all been talking about and aware of for many years now. We will eliminate that structural deficit by 2017. Budget growth is held to its lowest levels in a generation. Like at any time since that portrait forward, we have reduced the size of the executive branch of your government to its smallest size on a per capita basis at any time since 1973. This is the eighth budget that the O'Malley Brown administration has submitted that is within affordability guidelines, the spending affordability guidelines. There was a pattern in the past of doing the easy thing, which is saying yes to everybody, submitting a budget that wouldn't be balanced, and then letting the legislature act like the bad actors and have to go make the cuts. We chose a more responsible path. We believe that nobody's better prepared to submit a budget that's balanced with priorities intact as best they can be, especially through these recessionary waters, than the administration is. So Lieutenant Governor Brown and I have submitted every single year a budget that is within spending affordability and is also balanced, and this one keeps with that pattern. We also have a rainy day fund preserved at 5% of general fund. So that's $800 million in the rainy day fund. Your state, our state, is only one of seven states that maintained a AAA bond rating all the way through the recession. I think now there's 9 or 10 that have a AAA bond rating, but we're one of only seven that maintained that through the recession. Next slide. There is no progress without jobs. The most important indicator of our state's fiscal health that all of us have been watching ever since we were hit by this recession is that jobs number. We have now recovered 100% of the jobs we lost during the Bush recession. We are one of only 17 states that have recovered all of the jobs we lost. We're not done. There's still a lot of people looking for work. But one of the reasons, one of the clearest indicators that we're doing better than we were is the fact that most months we create more jobs than we lose. For a while there back in 2009, it was like the limbo dance. How low can we go in terms of job losses, home losses, and other things? So we're doing better. Last year, we had a rate of job creation that was almost twice that of our good neighbors in the Commonwealth of Virginia. This year, we are also ahead of Virginia in rate of job creation. We got one more month to bank. December won't come out until January 20th. Next one. This is a jobs budget. So there are 48,000 jobs. Well, I'm not going to step in front of it. There are 48,000 jobs that are supported by this budget. 7,416 are in public school construction. We're one of only about 15 states or so that actually do invest anything in public school construction. So 7,416 jobs in school construction. 2,500 in what was last year and will be repeated this year, a very successful, affordable housing program. Bay Restoration, 283 jobs. Transportation capital budgets alone support 16,317 jobs. And the other capital investments we make on the strength of that fiscally responsible AAA bond rating supports 21,637 jobs and all sorts of other things, water, wastewater upgrades, construction at community colleges and college campuses and those sorts of things. We're also going to be doing more rather than less to accelerate Maryland's advantages in terms of job creation through innovation. So we're going to accelerate the innovation curve by doing more rather than less on the biotech tax credit. That'll be a 20% increase. The cybersecurity tax credit will be a 33% increase. We just started that last year. And research and development will be a 12% increase. Sustainable communities tax credit is again in the budget, and it is level funded compared to last year. This is the, we used to call this, Len, the psychedelic dollar, but now that we've got older, we'll call it the pastel-colored dollar. So this shows you where your general fund dollar goes in our state. It's sort of rainbowish. So 48 cents out of every dollar in our state budget, your general fund budget, goes to education, K to 12, community colleges, higher ed. 48 cents of every dollar goes to education. 25 cents out of every dollar goes to health in some way, shape, or form. 11 cents goes to public safety. So that's Maryland State Police, corrections, juvenile services, all of those public safety entities. And the other 16 cents is everything else. DNR, Department of Environment, Department of Agriculture, you name a department that's not education, health, and public safety, it's all in that 16 cents. Which is also where a lot of the cuts have come disproportionately from as we've greatly increased education funding, which we're going to get to next. So here's our mission statement, just to as a refresher. Our mission is to strengthen and grow our middle class, to improve public safety and public education in every part of our state, and to expand opportunity. That's why we make the investments that we make. That's why we do what we do on this common platform of ours called the State of Maryland. College affordability. The more a person learns, right, the more a person earns. People of our state understand that education investments are economic investments. They're investments in opportunity. So over these last 8 years, notwithstanding the difficult recessionary and fiscal times, our state has done more than any other state to hold down the cost of college tuition, to make college education more affordable for more families. It's hard to see this from afar. We'll give you all the slide decks after this. But this is the continuum of the 50 states. On one end of the spectrum is Arizona, that adjusting for inflation increased tuition by and fees in state by 80% over the last 8 years. Down here at the other end of the spectrum is Maryland, which adjusting for inflation, tuition in Maryland only went up by 3% over the last 8 years. Next one. This is on health. We have, for a long time in our state, notwithstanding our high median income, we had a very restrictive Medicaid program, and we had far too many uninsured. The lieutenant governor from the first days of this administration has been working, rolling up his sleeves to find ways to get more people and their families into decent, affordable health care coverage. And it helps all of us, really. If people don't have to wait to go to the emergency room to get their health care coverage, that's better for all of us. And we're already starting to see some of the signs of that wisdom. So we had 629, or rather we've added 548,000 people overall to the ranks of those who have health care in our state who did not have it before. Next. And by the way, go back to that last one. I'm sorry. Let's not forget that 400,000 of them were added before the Affordable Care Act even came about. We did that with that $1 tax on tobacco. Some of you might have forgotten about, but it covered 400,000 people with health care that never had it before, and half of them were children. Next one, and then we're going to be able to do even more. We have reduced juvenile homicides almost 50% compared to where it was in 2007. This was not an accident. This was a product of a lot of hard work, smarter interventions, better funding, and a better-run administration. Didn't happen overnight. Happened over two secretaries, but it is happening, and that's a lot of parents that aren't standing by gravesites. Next one. On sustainability, we're trying to find one slide that we could show you on the environment. It's hard to find just one slide. We chose our friends, the oyster. So this is what we've been doing in terms of oyster production in our state over these last years. Again, notwithstanding the fiscal challenges, we've greatly increased the amount of spat, and we have engaged now in the largest oyster reef reconstruction in the country, Harris Creek on the eastern shore. We've also done this really cool thing for any of you that are looking for a good story, and that is that we've now covered 80% of the bay's surface waters, or the bay's waters and surface radar, which allows us then to electronically fence off the oyster sanctuaries so that when a poacher is hitting them at 3 a.m. on a dark night, it alerts to the command center. We're able to dispatch a Maryland State Police helicopter to hold them by floodlight, and then we get the DNR police after them. So cool stuff. Next one. All right, just to refresh your recollection, lest we forget, how did we get into a situation, Pat, where it always seemed like we had a structural deficit just looming off of our horizon? It happened because of the bad math that we engaged in as a people in years gone by. And here are the highlights of that. Back in 1997, the General Assembly of Maryland put in place an across-the-board income tax cut. What was it, a 10% cut or something, Eloise? 10% across the board, regardless of income. Everybody, happy days were here again. All the politicians were happy. They could knock on doors and say, we cut your taxes. And as a result, the state of Maryland, our common platform, saw $1 billion in revenues fall out of its bottom line. So that was one bad mathematic decision. The other decision was to increase education funding, which would be great, except that they ramped up and locked in law an increase of $1.5 billion under Thornton for education funding, but they didn't put in any new revenue to support it, let alone any revenue to replace the billion that they gave away in the tax cut. And from 2002 to 2006, there was insufficient action to do anything to really reduce either the structural deficit or the ramp-up in the increased education spending or the other ramp-ups. Spending actually accelerated during these 4 years of my predecessor compared to the average annual increases under his predecessor, and nothing was done to attack the structural deficit. Then, even with our calling that special and very unpopular special session in 2007, then the Great Recession hit, and that knocked another $2 billion out of our revenues. So that's why it's always seemed like there's a structural deficit on our horizon, one that we are now on a path to retire in 2017. Chris, next one. So this is what it looks like. In other words, we have been every year making progress not only on education, public safety, opportunity, college affordability, the environment and jobs. We've also been making fiscal progress, because without fiscal responsibility, there is no other progress, not for long anyway. So this is how deep the red ink had become in the height of the recession. So this is fiscal year 08. This is right after, I guess, the special session, 2007. Mm-hmm. This is how low it went and how deep the red ink became, and then we've been working our way back to a more sustainable future now has us on that better path. This was another way of picturing it. The red at the bottom are each of the cuts. Many of you were here then when we were doing the limbo dance, all these BPW, BPW, BPW every 3 months. As the revenue fell out, we had to go back and make more and more cuts. And it was not a happy time. Next. This is how, this is average annual budget growth rate, general fund spending growth excluding appropriations to the rainy day fund over these last administrations. So Governor Mandel had average annual spending growth of 13.4%. You can see Governor Hughes was 8.5, Governor Schaefer 5.6, Governor Glendening 5%, Governor Ehrlich 7.5%, O'Malley Brown 2.2% average annual spending growth. Next slide. Okay, so let's focus in on this budget. This budget had to be constructed at a time the revenue projections that came out that guided the construction of this budget came out at in the middle of the federal government shutdown. So it was a much more constrained budget than we might have hoped for if Congress had just left us alone. But with the government shutdown, that put a damper on a lot of economic activity in our state, home sales, car sales, everything else that affects the revenue projections. So the result of that was, do you want to sit down anywhere you want to see, Eric? I mean, I keep seeing you standing there. The result was forecast meant that we had a shortfall of $193 million that we had to make up for in this current 2014 fiscal year, and we also had to close a $391 gap in this budget that we're presenting to you today. This budget fully closes those shortfalls, and it does so without any taxes or fee increases. There is $621 million in balancing actions that are achieved through two big categories. One, 74% of it, or $457 million of it, is from spending reductions. The other 26% is a combination of payments, transfers, some miscellaneous things like the sale of helicopters. And these actions close the shortfall, and they also leave an unallocated cash reserve of $37 million as a cushion. That's on top of the $800 million rainy day fund. Next. So the highlights, $457 million in cuts, no taxes, tax increases or fee increases, $800 million in rainy day, and there is a... this puts us on a path to eliminate the structural deficit with a $31 million surplus by 2017. And again, this is the eighth budget in a row that's been submitted within spending affordability guidelines. Next. And this is where we began. Cumulative cuts, $9.1 billion. Eliminated the structural deficit. Budget growth held to the lowest levels in a generation. We reduced executive branch to its smallest size per capita since 1973. Spending affordability guidelines, this now for the eighth year in a row. Rainy day fund preserved at 5% and AAA bond rating. Next one. Are we going into any more slides? Are you sure? Not any deeper? That's it?